Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000: The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. Our coterie are still entangled in a brutal fight with the FBI, CSIS, and the Inquisition. Everett was removed from the scene by a friendly stranger. Iris embraced her monstrous self and killed several police officers before being staked into torpor. And Ridley returned to TJ Malone, summoning an army of bear boys to get his friends clear before discovering his son devastated Harvey. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
Everett, you awaken in the back of a squad car that seems to have been pulled into an alley. You are under some coats in the sort of leg well of the back seat of a car. Up front, you hear just a long protracted sigh, and a man in English says, "All right, laddie, you can get up now."
I'll sit up and have a look at this person.
So before you, as a detective, he's wearing the same sort of light SWAT vest with, you know, that classic like detective going to break into a building thing where it's like they wear the vest with the badge.
Yep.
Big red beard, just kind of like running his hands back through his hair. He's got just a tangle of red hair, his face looks a little bit like a blast radius of something. Like he's got lots of scars that have healed over, but rough looking guy. Think like Mickey Rourke, either in Sin City or just like out of Sin City, just as a person. So it's not like he's got like bandages and everything over it. It's just like a guy who's clearly seen some shit. Despite that, very handsome dude. He's just one of those people who wears. He's clearly seen a lot of action, but wears it very well. He kind of twists around, says, "You know, Mr. Fry, I gotta tell you, that bleeding out of your forehead thing, that was a mite good little thing you did."
"Well, you know, I wasn't trying to hurt no one or nothing like that. Look, you seem to know my name, but I have no idea who you are."
"Ah, yes, you'll have to excuse me, manners. My name's Sergeant Sergeant William McGregor. Sorry, been around a long time. It's been a busy day. A little bit worried about my partner." He kind of reaches over to shake your hand, which is honestly, Everett, something that like no one has done in a really long time and is an oddly human gesture that just seems kind of nice.
Yeah, I'll take his hand. As I shake it, I'll say,
"You don't seem too fazed by me sitting up in the back of your car after getting shot in the head."
He kind of lets out like a big bit of laugh and says, "Oh, laddie. You and me, we're both of the same blood, if that makes any sense."
"Right. Kindred, then?"
"Oh, aye. Quite some time. Used to use it to, use these guys," he taps his fangs, like, "use these to tear out a few Nazi throats back in the day."
"Well, that really is something. Why am I here? Why am I not bleeding out of my head on the ground?"
If you remember, Tyler, you actually used Rouse the Blood to cause that effect. The wound itself hurt, but isn't, you're kind of shocked and I think a little disturbed to discover isn't fatal to you. It was a small caliber bullet. Feeling your forehead, there's definitely a bullet hole in it. And you've got blood kind of down the side of your face. Sergeant McGregor explains he's been kind of keeping an eye on you from a distance for a while now. He is Billy Kincaid's partner on the force. When he kind of started catching her slipping you information, he kind of quickly copped to the fact that it was through all like vaguely kindred related things. So as a result, he's been just kind of keeping an eye on your progress. And when he heard what was going down he and Billy were dispatched, he put two and two together pretty quickly and was pretty concerned, largely because Billy hasn't caught on to the kindred business yet. The masquerade is still intact, as far as she knows.
That's not how I remember it from what I heard them talking about when I was bleeding out on the ground. She said, I thought he was...
He said that. So she shot you.
Okay.
He leaned in. Okay, Miles, you're shaking your head. Am I misremembering what happened?
No, she shot him. He dropped, and then she like cried out, no, I thought he was one of you. That's why I shot him.
And she had like a breakdown.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. She...
One of you doesn't necessarily mean vampire. Like, she doesn't know explicitly... Mm-hmm.
I may have fucked this up. I didn't remember what I said. "One of you." No, that's fine. That's what I said. So that's what happened. Okay. So in that case, yes, she's, aware of kindred, but is sort of, staunchly, in the camp of people who are, she's aware that there's something kind of spooky going on, but think like people on the periphery of Buffy. They're aware that weird shit's happening, but like, she doesn't know about the masquerade. She might know the vampires exist. Sergeant McGregor, confesses, to the fact that he let her in on the fact that, he is a vampire. But he's playing it up as like, I'm the only one who's good. The rest of them, we gotta kill them. So she's very confused. But basically, Everett, the reason he's congratulating you is by making yourself bleed out of your forehead, you convinced Billy that you are in fact human. Which means that you can actually disappear now. She thought she was shooting a vamp, which would have confirmed a lot of her greatest fears and really blown the top off the whole thing. But McGregor was able to get you away before she realized that. So she's pretty fucked up now. She thinks she shot her friend in the head, which he's like not thrilled about. But it did mean that she didn't realize your vampiric nature. And based on kind of the way he's eyeing you, like there's a bit of the game recognized game about just how much horrible shit you have to do as a kindred. So like it's one thing to be like vampires are real, and you're like, oh, interesting. It's nothing to be like, here's the kind of horrible shit we get up to. So he thinks it's a spot, just again a brilliant spot of thinking on the fly to just pump blood out of the wound. But he is a little bit worried about Billy.
Okay. So I think kind of circling back to being in the back of this car, Everett will just ask, like, why am I here? Why did you help me? Are you helping me? Is this help? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So McGregor explains that he had to get you away because the Inquisition was moving in. He again just kind of lets out one of those sighs, and he's like, I'll tell you, they come back every few years, and there's not a whole lot you can do other than run and hide unless you can kill them. Fuck, these accents are all over the map. I don't give a shit anymore. I don't care, listeners.
I'm going to start picking it up. Talking to Ridley, talking to the Scottish fella, talking if Jocelyn ever shows up again, the Australian accent, all of that fucks with my Southern accent so bad.
Fair enough. Great. Well, I look forward to that happening instead of just me every time.
Yeah.
Sergeant McGregor explains that the Inquisition has come to Montreal. There are raids occurring throughout the city right now. Known and suspected kindred layers are being attacked, and he only copped to this because Billy slipped him the information. So he went with her, hoping that he'd at least be able to get you away. He doesn't know too much about your compatriots because you've only ever really communicated one way with Billy. But he just kind of like stares at you kind of levelly and says, "Oh, aye, laddie, that's the best we're gonna get." Look, I'm not a big fan of the Sabbat. I think they gotta go. They've turned this city into something awful. I was turned back when we were fighting a big evil overseas, and the Sabbat are the closest I've seen to that here. But since their head honcho fucked off and died in that tower, we got a real chance here. But the Camarilla, they're moving in, and that's going to be trouble for everyone. But you... You seem like a good one. You seem like you might be the man I've been looking for. One who could be on the inside.
I see. I don't know if there's going to be much of an inside left. I'm not sure how in the know you are, but there's a major Camarilla gathering tonight.
Oh, aye,
Elysium. The prince is here. Yeah. And if the Inquisition is doing raids tonight, aren't all of those kindred in serious danger?
So McGregor explains that the masquerade itself has remained largely intact in Montreal. That's largely because the Sabbat are such weird fanatics that like they often get blamed as serial killers, not necessarily as vampires. So the masquerade has remained fairly secure, which means that something like Elysium isn't a concept that the Inquisition is aware of here. They're attacking different hideouts, but they're not attacking Elysium itself, which is, I mean, admittedly good news for you in case your buds got there. It would seem that enough of the masquerade is intact that they are unaware that there is an Elysium, because there hasn't been one here in hundreds of years. So basically what McGregor would like from you is he saved your ass, so he's kind of asking for a favor. But he explains that from what Billy has explained, and then kind of from what he's pieced together from seeing what information she fed you and then what happened, he feels like you're on the up and up, that you're kindred like he is, but you know, he might be anarch, but he he feels like he can trust you. He feels like you might be his kind of person. So all he's asking you to do to pay him back for this is to go to Elysium to kind of be his man on the inside and to help him determine, as Ridley might put it, like, who's a scumbag, who isn't. And basically, are the new tenants going to be worse than the old ones? Because he's kind of tried to keep the Sabbat. He's picked them off here and there and kind of done what he can. But up till now, he's basically been waging a one-man war.
Sergeant McGregor, you are aware of what you're asking me, right? I am newly minted Camarilla enforcement. I was sent here to make way for the prince, to clear out Sabbat, to clear out rogue vampires like yourself, a threat to the masquerade. I mean, if they find out, I'm not just going to get a slap on the wrist here. What's the end game? What's your big play?
Well, laddie, let me ask you. Have you met the prince?
No, I haven't.
Have you talked to him?
No, I have not.
Do you know his name?
No, sir, I do not.
Right. I think it's best you start thinking about who actually sent you and what they actually sent you to do.
Well, I do know that much.
He just kind of like gestures broadly. Said, it just seemed to me that for a man who's pretty committed to the mission of the Camarilla, as it sounds like, perhaps you would have made contact with him by now, huh?
Look, maybe
they would have reached out to you.
Maybe it's a holdover from my old life, but I follow and I gesture to his badge. I follow the chain of command.
And he kind of nods. Also, you can tell as he like pulls out some dog tags and looks at them that the sergeant rank likely isn't his like police rank. It's right. Likely like an old war rank he's still carrying around.
I see.
That said, referring to him as sergeant is absolutely the correct call. The more you look at him, Everett, the more you see kind of a man who almost looks like he's playing dress up. He's a cop, sure, but he looks like he's dressing, you know, someone dressed him to be background on a cop show. Like he wears it uncomfortably.
I see. Okay.
But he says, well, look, I'm not asking you to do anything you don't want to do yet. But me, I can't go in there. I can't find out any more information, but you can find some things out. And I suspect if it turns out that they're up to no good, maybe you'll tell old Sergeant McGregor, eh?
Right. Sure. I'll see what I can do about that. Let me ask you something, Sergeant McGregor. Does the Camarilla know about you? Is the name William McGregor a popular or unpopular name with the Camarilla?
He just smiles and says, laddie, back across the pond, it was quite an infamous one. But here, no one knows me here. Here, I'm just another cop on the beat. And then he drops into French and he's like, it's really helpful that my accent doesn't carry over into French. It really helps sell that I'm just another pencil-pushing cop, just, you know, only a few years from retirement. Got to get that overtime, am I right? I watched a lot of a TV show called The Wire. It really helped me with the lingo.
Yeah, whatever I drank didn't do the accent thing for me. That's kind of cool.
He kind of laughs and says, well, laddie, that's because I had to learn it.
Oh, well, shit. All right. Hey, look, you mentioned across the pond. You know a fella by the name Ridley Beef?
He just kind of shakes his head and he's like, sounds like an alias to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess I always figured that, but. All right. So
he looks at his watch and he's like, listen, I hate to cut this short, but you got a party to get to, don't you?
Yeah, I do. You got a change of clothes here. I'm a little bit of a mess after that whole raid business.
He
sighs and he says, all right, lad, but now you really do owe me, and this better come back without any just gestures to like all of this. And he goes, he gestures for you to come around to the trunk, and he opens it, and inside there's a perfectly pressed, sort of like green military jacket with medals that, despite being very old, looks like it just came out of the bag. And a traditional kilt and a sporran. And he's just glowering at you, and he's like, now I let you wear these. You really owe me.
This is not what I was expecting.
He just throws his arms up and is like, well, I'm sorry, lad. I'm not a fucking Walmart.
Right, right. No, no. Yeah, of course, of course. Look, keep your ceremonial garb. I'll try and clean up on the way with some of the coats that you had left on me. I don't think this whole voice and accent is going to fly with that outfit.
Yeah, he just shrugs and says, honestly, lad, if we're concerned about accents, you're on the wrong fucking show. And then he gets in the driver's seat, and you hop in the back, and the two of you take off towards Elysium. Everett, is there anything you think in the back seat there as you speed off into the night?
I'd like to take out my phone that I used to text Iris and let her know that I'm safe and that I'm going to Elysium, because it's the safest place for a vampire to be tonight.
Cool. Well, let's see if Iris gets that text.
Well, now, I don't know that Ridley's illiterate, so I'll send it to Ridley, too. So right. I was thinking player,
yeah,
like me.
I understand.
Yeah, I'll send it to Ridley as well.
Happens to the best of us. Yeah. Says the guy who fucked up a continuity point from a show we recorded 2 days ago. But it's 2020. Every day is like 9 years. Yeah. So, great. Ridley, you come booking up the stairs into a bloodbath. There's a massive creature that still distinctly looks like Iris, but like Iris at the end of a Guillermo del Toro movie where she finally steps out of the shadows, Iris. There are, like, she ripped apart most of the people beforehand. If dear listeners, if you'll recall, last episode, Miles rolled, she had to get best of three and rolled success on all three, except she also got a bestial failure. So she basically killed most of the people in the room and then drifted off into sweet, sweet Toreador Artland. But there are still a few kind of limping through, and sure enough, the reinforcements that were called for by the sister on the radio are starting to pull up outside. Ridley, you see a lady in kind of vaguely shattered SWAT gear holding a pool cue triumphantly in the heart of Iris, whose limbs are spasming a bit as she kind of slumps down to her knees. It almost looks like her fingers are starting to recede, like the elongated limbs are slowly shriveling as she remains in torpor. What do you do?
How many cops are in the room?
So there's the SWAT lady who's got the pool cue. There are two more SWAT people who are a little injured, and there's one agent who's hiding behind the bar. And then there's people driving up outside.
Okay. Ridley will drop his shotgun and just hold his face because he's like covered in blood spray and he's like horrific burns to the point that he's unrecognizable. Just yelling out, they're using magic! They fucking burn you with magic! And he'll just stagger towards the two. And then when he gets there, he just wants to reach out, grab their heads, and then just crank their heads sideways. Like, he just wants a clean neck break horizontally. Okay.
Hello, Gov. It's your boy Ridley, and I'm here to talk to you about maybe a way you should be contributing to this little organisation. Everyone knows, as you look around, there's a lot of bear boys, and you know, to be a bear boy, you got to be a bear, and you got to be, well, not exactly a boy, but you got, the important thing is, you got to pay your fucking dues, is what you got to do. And right now, I just know from looking at the numbers, there are a lot more fucking people out there than there are inside my fucking gang. And what I'm saying is, if you want to join up and get access to me and all the cool fucking toys and other fucking treats I've got for all you little bear boys and girls and theys and thems and fucking alls out there, go to patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. You do that, you're on the inside. Come talk to me on a patron exclusive Discord. Why don't you throw some names into the show? Why don't you build an NPC to join my fucking gang? I'm just saying, if you sign up, you won't regret it. And if you don't sign up, maybe you fucking will.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
You can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else. So do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
I'm going to need from you, sir, a deception of some sort. So let's go with subterfuge and manipulation.
Well, that's three failures.
Sorry, bud. They turn in open fire with automatics as you stagger forward. Now, you can still try and reach them. But you're going to be under heavy fire. So I'm going to need, please, stamina and survival as you do that, like, awesome thing that always happens in Superman movies where, like, just a bunch of people are machine gunning at him and he's, like, walking forward, or, like, Wonder Woman pressing across no man's land, where it's just, like, theoretically the gunfire shouldn't kill you, but there was a lot of fucking gunfire as they open up with automatics.
All righty. That is two successes.
Okay. So you, I think with two successes, I'll say you can reach one of them and go for your snappy, snappy, stabby, stabby.
Oh, if he can only get to one, then I think this is a bull rush. Like, he wants to pick up his guy and body, like, hammer the second one. Like, he's got to work like a domino here.
With your roll, you can only grab at one. Once you have that one, we can.
Oh, fuck it. I'll kill him and throw him at the other one then. That's fine. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's fucking kill this guy.
Give me strength and brawl, please. Meanwhile, Miles, you have entered a state of torpor, which is what happens to vampires who have been staked or who've taken too much damage, which means that you are trapped, vaguely aware of your surroundings, except you can still feel that pulse running through you. And you might be out, but the voice in your head doesn't seem to be. So can you please go ahead and roll me a... I'll say also a stamina and survival, please. Ryan, what'd you get?
Three successes.
Oh, yeah. You fucking destroy that guy. What do you do?
Oh, then, you know what? There's the temptation, but I think he can just let him hit the floor. And then I think it's full saber-tooth leap up kind of to the height that you get off the top rope of a wrestling match, and just sure. Onto the second guy into the floor.
Okay, great. Miles, what did you get?
Sorry, I need to know whether I still have the amped up stats or not, because if not, then I have no survival.
You do have the amped up stats, yes. Okay. In fact, you only have the amped up stats right now because Iris Dunn is out, but Metathiax is...
Still, and still with the hunger, the two hunger?
Yes, until the effects wear off.
Four successes.
Oh, damn. Okay, so a couple things happen at the same time. Ryan, I need a strength and a... Or no, you, sorry, I just had you put together a dice pool. What did you get on yours?
For our second boy, that is also three successes.
Okay. So everything... Time slows. Iris, again, you're kind of drifting, but you still have that beautiful, unblocked memory of poetry again. And honestly, if this is how you die, at least you kind of reconnected with that, at least for a moment. But then, as your body continues to pulse and pulse, the pool cue begins to slowly slide out of your chest as the drac and what resides within it running through your veins manipulates your very organs to reject the stake. So, Ridley, as you leap up and off the first dead SWAT guy aiming at the second one, under the arc of your leap, the lady SWAT agent who is like holding the pool cue suddenly finds it flying through her eye and out the back of her head as it's forced out of Iris's chest. So she falls back as you leap over her and land on the next SWAT guy. You make visual contact with TJ Malone's slumped, pulped head. And with a bestial cry, what do you do to the SWAT person?
I think he just starts screaming the word no when he sees TJ's dead. And when the guy hits the ground with him on top of him, he pulls a knee up and just pins his top, like his left shoulder, and grabs the arm and just is still screaming no. And he'd like to rip this guy's arm off and then just start beating him to death with his own arm, if possible.
It happens to the best of us.
If possible, please and thank you.
So you start going to town on that guy, just screaming no. Iris, kind of like being sucked out, kind of like almost the bottom of a drain, or kind of ejected from the end of like a water slide. You're suddenly slammed back into consciousness. But you can feel your kind of jacked up powers beginning to ebb. As you look down, you can see that same sort of black tar substance that you encountered in the sewers and when you tried to become a god that one time. You know, typical day for Iris. And as that begins to leak out of you, you can feel the drac draining. So the clock has begun on your feral abilities. That said, this lady is still like with a pool cue through her eye, is kind of like holding a pistol up towards you. What do you do?
How sharp are my claws? Can I literally like sever her hand?
Oh yeah, they're like razor-y hands.
That's the first step for sure.
Okay, so she's doing that thing where it's like someone who's been like grievously head wounded but isn't dead, or she's just like the last thing that's being communicated from her brain to her body is raise your gun and shoot this thing. You slice off the hand. She almost doesn't seem to notice. She just raises the stump as blood sprays from it. And you see like a look of confusion. It's not quite linked, but like the finger seems to be twitching near the trigger. Like she definitely thinks she's shooting you right now, but she's still standing there. What do you do?
Can I probably try Kali Ma her heart out?
Look,
I'm pissed. This is not what I wanted.
Understood. And I mean, admittedly, you do have experience Kali Maing hearts out.
It's not your first time, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's not your first
time. It seems to be my standard go-to when I get really pissed.
Yeah. So all right. So can you please roll me a strength and I forget, did I give you melee or brawl?
You gave me melee.
Okay. So go strength and melee. Ryan, the SWAT guy is dead, but you're still mad. Are you still beaten?
Oh, no, because there's a guy behind the bar who was hiding. And I think it's just immediately from where he is, it's sort of like smash, 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 and then just release corpse and just sprint towards the... Like, it's vampire turn. Great. Speed towards guy behind the bar.
All right, so he stands up and just yells, Sanguine, you must die! English and holds out what looks almost like a flintlock pistol and fires it at you. Do you try and dodge it or are you trying to endure it?
No, it's Inquisition. He No, fuck it. He's fucking livid. This is TJ, man. Fuck this whole goddamn bullshit. No, man, he's hopped up. Fuck this guy. All right,
bud, stamina and survival, please, as you leap through a bullet. Meanwhile, Miles, what did you get on your Kali Ma check?
4 successes.
That's enough to Kali Ma. all right, go ahead and describe your coup de grace.
I think it's like an initial puncture, mm-hmm. and then like slowly pressing into it, so it's not like a snatch and grab. It's more like I'm gonna bore in, give it a twist, and pull it.
Like you're a child operating Snowpiercer.
Yeah. Just
in, twist, pull. Yeah, all right, great.
Yeah.
So the heart comes out. Here's the real question: do you feast on the heart?
Sure.
Great. Sure. You can go ahead and knock one of those hungers off as you chow down on fresh heart.
Thanks.
Brian, what'd you get?
2 successes.
Okay, so you're going to take 1 point of aggravated damage, but you reach him. It doesn't stop you. This is very much a T-1000 having his head blown off, but still running. In this case, I think it hits you kind of just beneath your shoulder. So it's not a vital organ. The bullet explodes when it hits you, so it does like blast a little crater in you. But TJ's back there, man.
Great. He's gonna just like one clawed hand just like slap the gun out of the way, but he's got a lethal body, which means his attacks damn do right aggravated to damage to mortals. So I think he's probably taking like broken hands with it, and he's gonna grab him by the collar and grab him by the crotch and just pick him up and flip him over on the bar, almost like a suplex. While yelling like, TJ didn't do anything fucking wrong. And then I've got something nasty if this works. I don't know if you want me to just keep
I'm not
going
to let you roll for it. You roll to survive getting shot. That was my can you do what you want to do? So now you
And while
he's
got
do.
Him there, he reaches behind the bar and he shatters the glass. He goes, TJ didn't fucking hurt you. I'm going to fucking hurt you. And it's just broken bottle in the gut and just another bottle and smash it. I told you I'm going to fucking hurt you. Like right in the crotch, third smash, then I'd fucking die right in the throat. And then he'll kick him off the bar and take a heavy breath and be like, oi, big spooky, what the fuck is going on outside? Fucking hell.
Oh, that's
hold his shoulder.
That's a good question that applies to both of you. There is a tremendous crunch of metal, almost like the sound of a train hitting a car on the tracks as an armored personnel carrier crashes through the front of the bar. The back door kind of dropping, and you hear the actual legitimate clank of armor as motherfuckers wearing the mark of the Inquisition step down full plate. One of them's got a flamethrower. One of them has 2 silvered blades. There's a lady in Wolverine claws. Behind them, there's someone kind of in the shadows with a megaphone who's like, pardon me, everybody. Look, I know this is real stupid looking, but you're kind of pretty good at fucking up our shit. So, behold the might of the Inquisition, I suppose. Again, I'm real sorry they look this dumb. It's the best we got. All right, fuck yourselves and die now, please. Go get them. With that, the armored legion of the Second Inquisition storms into TJ Malone's to face off against the apparently 2-person murder spree party of Iris Dunn and Ridley Beef.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Meggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's logos are by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kyle. high angle, and all our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar. That's J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dumb Dumbs and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We've also got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon of Darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.